think as well, like, if, we'll just, you know, round up on cinema since we've, like, been here all day. Obviously, there's the writer's strike, and, you know, you were talking about The Flash. Do you know, there was a guy who plays a televised version of The Flash who was, like, doing an interview, and they were like, oh, congratulations on your cameo in The Flash movie. And the guy was like, what are you talking about? I'm not in The Flash movie. And they're like, no, like, you're in The Flash movie. And he's like, nah, it was somebody else playing, like, a different version of the character or whatever it was. And it turns out, no, this guy was, like, actually in The Flash movie. And they went, like, and it's, like, again, what a lot of this writer's strike that is about the AI-ification of, like, I don't know if that's a word, but maybe we just invented one. like cinema, you know, like, I'd seen people talking about the writer's strike, saying that, you know, the studios are going to the AI and being like, write us a season of X-Men or The Witcher or whatever the fuck it is, and it's coming back with broad strokes, and then they're hiring actual writers to come in and be like, right, tidy this up and, like, put it in the format that, you know, we want it in. And writers are like, well, hold on a minute, like, why don't we just write it from scratch? And not, nah, we don't want that, because we'd need to pay you. Like, Secret Invasion, the one with Samuel L. Jackson, got a lot of stick because the opening sequence was done with AI.
Right.
So it was, and it's really fucking shady AI. It just looked horrible. Like, there were meant to be, like, representations of Samuel L. Jackson's face and, like, other bits and pieces, you know, I'm assuming, like, pop up throughout the show and stuff like that, but it just looked muddy, horrible, like, overly stylized, but, like, just one look at it and you're like, that's AI. You know what I mean? Like, so they're bringing it into the script writing, they're bringing it into, you know, the credit sequences and the CGI. They're introducing people to movies. I mean, was it you were saying, like, Christopher Reeves?
So, like, there's a scene in The Flash where they go through all the multiple Supermans.
Aye.
And you see the guy for the 50s, and then it comes forward to Christopher Reeves, and then, you know, whatever.
That's, like, creepy as fuck.
Although, don't know if Dean Cain, wonder why he was left out, like, the Clark and Lois TV series. Because, I mean, for me personally, I loved that.
He was Superman
For a period, like, of time.
Christopher Reeves, when we were younger, I think he was kind of, like, at the end of the run. I think, I don't remember Superman 4 at all. Like, so.
Do you know?
No, not really.
No, I remember going to see it. I went to see it in the Canon Cinema Theatre on that is now the Classic Grand.
All right.
What is it? Nuclear Man. Like, right. Like fucking Lex Luthor fires a nuclear weapon into the sun and creates Nuclear Man, and he comes to Earth, and he's, like, really powerful, and that's blah, blah, blah.
Obviously why it fell away from there.
Oh, it's terrible.
But for me,
I
remember on a Saturday night, sitting down at home, Saturday night you used to have, like, boxing on the telly, and we would watch The New Adventures of Superman with Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher?
Hatcher, right.
Very close to the,
and then
the novel
Pratchett. That's where I get confused. You'd watch Superman. My man and dad would order pakora for, like, the Indian, and then we'd sit and watch, like, you know, Eubank versus Ben or whatever the boxing was that was on a Saturday night, and that was our, like, wee family sort of Saturday ritual. So for me, like, Dean Cain was probably more Superman to me than
Christopher Reeves
was. You know what I mean? Like, now Henry Cavill's a pretty definitive version of it, I think, to be honest with you. But I, growing up, like, I would have said, if you were like, who's, like, your Superman, I'd have probably went Dean Cain. So it's a bit weird that he's not in it. But even the guy for the
it might have been, right, I don't know.
But even the guy for the 50s, like, that story, his story got dark as fuck. Like, that was a tragedy. So, like, bring that guy back, using the AI to bring that guy back for the dead for a movie cameo, just doesn't seem appropriate to me. It doesn't seem fair. Same with Christopher Reeves. I mean, like,
I've been saying this for a while because I've seen adverts pop up with fucking Albert Einstein selling insurance and stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, really? Like, really? That, like, I was like, is that just because it's, like, over 50, like, you know, the whole, like, copyright thing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, now your image rights are gone because you're
maybe
over 50 years, a bit like music, you know, you can use any music over 50
years old.
It
becomes trad.
Yeah, it becomes public. But I was like, yeah, but you're using this for, like, you've got Albert Einstein, an animated version of him, fair enough, jumping around in bubble baths and stuff like that. And I'm like, I just don't really like. I get it. They're trying to like, but it's very distasteful. But I don't get it. But it's just very like. Like, who signs off on this shit? Like, who's actually, like making a conscious decision that that's the right thing, you know? Like, but...
I don't think they're concerned about whether it's right or not, because, as I say, for me, bringing people back for the dead for the purposes of movie cameos is not, like, an appropriate use of technology. And I can get why writers and the people who have spent years... building names in the cinema and sort of TV industries are like, no, fuck this, because they are being sidelined en masse at a time when, you know, for the first time in years, we're actually like talking about cinema. You know what I mean? Like, and being like, it's became exciting again in the last few weeks, but at the same time, on the flip side of it, we have hundreds of thousands. They were saying that, like, you know, the big guys, you know, the Bryan Cranstons and the Gail Gadots and, you know, all these Henry Cavills and blah, blah, blah. They're millionaires. Cool. No doubt. But something like 95% of the TV and cinema industry are on less than £26,000 a year. You know what I mean? Like, and you're like, think about, you know, there's people showing, like, residuals for, like, streaming content, and, like, one of them was, like, it was a... She had done, like, Mouseketeer shit, had been, like, a Disney princess, you know, on one of the channels, Nickelodeon or whatever it was, and, you know, grown up in, like, a Disney Channel TV show, and had then moved on to, you know, whatever she did with her life, and was like, here are my residuals, and it's like, she's getting checks in the post for, like, $2 and, like, $4, and, like, one guy was like, I got a check, it was like... The Miley Cyrus one, was it Hannah Montana? Mm-hmm. One of the guys who was in, like, Hannah Montana was like, here's my latest residual check, $0. Like, sending me, like, no money. And you're like, this is still to this day.
That cost them money.
It cost them money to send you a check for nothing.
But we're also going down the route of, like you're getting to the point where you could have a data bank of actors that have signed up to these contracts.
Yep.
And essentially, like, those studios... will own those actors' rights forever or for whatever it looks like, and then they won't need to, like, they will be able to use, like, Robert Downey Jr. until, like, he's dead for 50 years, and they're just using that image, right? And then there'll be a change where they can use, like, his image but slightly altered or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, well, he could have been bigger, he could have been thinner, he could have been more so then you create avatars for everything, and you're right, it just totally muddies the water. And it means that it detracts from and dilutes individual talent, because rather than...
Is talent anymore when you just put in a keyboard? You know what I mean?
Well, that's it. But you look at, like, Oppenheimer and Cillian Murphy, and he's picked for that because he's an incredible actor.
Yep.
Christian Bale. Like, there's loads of brilliant actors out there. But those people, if they're... like, and Cillian Murphy's very aware of the social... like, he doesn't do social media, he doesn't touch any of that.
Somebody was talking to him about Peaky Blinder memes, and he was like, what's a meme?
Yeah, what's a meme?
And they were like,
and I love that.
What do you mean?
But that is what people love about him. But that's where it'll go.
Chronically offline instead of chronically online, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I think, but I get what you're saying, mate, because I'm pretty sure as part of all this writer strike stuff, people were saying that they were coming in and doing, like, motion capture, you know, for, like, special effects shit and all the rest of it. And one of the actors had said, well, hold on a minute, like, why am I doing this? Because this doesn't feel, like, relevant to, like, the project that we're working on. Why am I... And they're like, oh, no, we're just capturing your motion. And she's like, but why? And I'm like, well, because we'll store it away until whenever it is that we need it. And they're starting to now insert, like, clauses in actors' contracts that are, like... we can basically, like, take your image and just apply it to something else.
Which is what we talked about with the music industry, did it, like, many years ago, where they would sign artists up, and then essentially they're tied in for, like, 7-album deal, and they can't get out of these things. And, I mean, you've got instances where you've got, like, Taylor Swift, who's, like, gone in, like, basically re-recorded all of her first, like, 4 albums, whatever it is.
Right.
And because she can't own the rights to them, but she's got out the agreement and now she's like basically re-recorded them and re-uploaded them so people then listen to her versions her rather version than of the other the versions.
Track. Right. I'd heard that there was some getting like, re-released.
But it's the same thing that's going to happen over.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, as a 40-year-old, 41-year-old white guy from Scotland, like, I kind of missed like Taylor Swift becoming like the biggest thing on the face of the planet.
Oh, it's and literally like, see what you're talking about earlier on about like the incels where it's like their whole personality, mate. There is like predominantly white approaching middle-aged single women who their full personality is they are goddess. Taylor Swift's fan.
Aye. And don't get me wrong, like fair fucks to the lassie, like you know, the era tour that she's on just now looks incredible, like, and she's like filling out like football stadiums like six nights a week, awkward. And you're like, when did that? And I mean, I knew she was always big, right? I knew she was like up there as like one of the main American recording artists and stuff like that. But I didn't realize that she was like Beatles big, like, honestly, didn't. And like,
she's huge.
The actual like ridiculous love and like is fanatical. I had that guy on Twitter who, or X as it is now, because I. Billionaires or whatever, you know what I mean, as we were talking the other week,
the everything app, you know. Oh, we hate China.
This guy is like a legal professional.
We're just going to turn fucking Twitter into like the Chinese fucking government app. It's like,
we've obviously I briefly worked in like the legal industry a few years ago, and I've got, you know, folk on my Twitter from that sort of neck of the woods and bits and pieces. This guy's quite a serious guy who regularly, when there's like news shit, talks about like the legal element of what's going on in the news, and I find his chat quite interesting. And on the day that the Taylor Swift tickets went live in the UK, he was posting like, I'm on the phone shaking trying to get like Taylor Swift tickets. And I'm like, I think that's when I was like, fuck man, this lassie's ascended to a stratosphere that like Beyonce is on a world tour and people are like, ah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, like Taylor Swift's where it's at sort of thing. So I, just as an aside, but when you mentioned her there, like, she's become huge.
Shep, like her re-recording, like I can't remember who it was, but I've got a feeling it was Cardi B.
Right.
Who, she went in direct competition with a record label and was asking fans to go and stream a song on SoundCloud, not on Spotify or Apple Music. Because she get 100% of the revenue of the SoundCloud streams, so this is like people taking the power, like try to take the power back.
Smart.
But
exactly.
So you're talking about like the comparisons to the music industry. I'd be really interested in this. I was thinking there as you were talking, we've seen like guys like David Guetta. We've seen like this. Calvin Harris is kind of like in the same sort of thing. These guys would have been producers back in the day.
Yep.
But because now the tech means that they don't need the band and they don't need the singers, the people that are, you know, like what you would probably say is naturally talented rather than somebody who develops like the ability to play a keyboard, whatever, like it, they become the stars. I would be very interested if we're going to see like somebody like James Cameron, AI's face onto like Arnold Schwarzenegger's body. Like, is the human ego that way where like the CEO of Disney's like, I want to be the leading man in the next action movie, so go and motion capture my face and get me on this supermodel, like this jacked like, guy's body.
An AI version of the Michael Flatley movie Blackbird. Have you ever seen this? Right, so Michael Lord of the Dance, you know, the fucking,
I know Michael Flatley, right?
So he has made fucking millions, right? Aye. He went to like Broadway and was there for like fucking 15 years. Like, this guy is minted, and he's taken that money and he's basically made a James Bond movie where he is James Bond. So his Blackbird, look it up on YouTube, the reviews are terrible, right. And like, he is the least convincing actor I've ever seen in my life, and he's always got the white tuxes and the black bow ties, and he's like getting women chat, and there's like fucking dodgy sex scenes and action. Oh my god. And
was this it is made like, in the '90s when he was no, like, this the is like fame?
In the last couple of years.
Oh right.
Like, he's an old man in it.
Right.
He's not even like in his physical, because like in his physical prime, like, you know what I mean? This guy was svelte, you know what I mean? Like, this dude is not at that anymore. Like, he is an old man who has probably not river danced in several years, cutting about kidding on his James Bond. So we already kind of have those vanity projects in certain respects, you know what I mean? But now you can just be like,
But all of these billionaire projects are vanity projects.
But then this is the problem: is that you don't need to be a billionaire
Titanic
now.
Is a vanity project. Aye, but they don't, the fucking moon is a.
They don't need it now because if AI continues on the path that it's on and keeps encroaching on the things within the movie, TV, and sort of music industry that we're talking about, like you on your laptop in the house, well, this is, could create a what would have been a $300 million movie.
Well, we talked about
all your favorite actors, and you've just paid for the rights. You've
exactly
subscribed to Paramount's database,
exactly.
Pay a tenner a month and you can download the image of any actor you want to just superimpose in your movie.
There,
you
know what I mean? And ironically, because we were talking about it earlier again, we were talking about the fact that like Metallica got the taken out of them for standing up against this many years ago, saying that it was going to be going across the industry.
I mean, South Park spanked the living shit out of them for that.
When
you
said
I mean?
About South Park, that's the funniest thing, because there's already a website out where they have taken South Park.
Yep.
And you can click on, pick five characters, put in a topic, and it will create you a full episode. And it is hilarious because it's the easiest thing to do in AI.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because that's how they make the episode
and
week
it's
on week.
And fart jokes as well.
It's just, yeah, and it just literally writes the whole episode. That is going to be like standard. And then you'll just be able to post up onto your feed, oh, this is my, I got a really good episode here. Watch this. Yeah. And it just makes the whole thing redundant as fuck.
I mean, we looked at it, didn't we? I mean, when ChatGPT or whatever the fuck it is became a thing, we had the conversation where we were like,
well, it was like
what
can we write? What can we ask it?
We were like, what kind of episodes ideas would it give us? And I think there was like, you ran it twice, didn't you? There was like two lists of 10. And in each list of 10,
there was a
just,
couple.
Just
a
based couple. On, what was it? It was just based on where. Episode titles
just,
or something.
No, I just put in like ideas for an episode of Rebel City Podcast. So the AI already has pretty much everything fed into it through Google and YouTube and Spotify. So they know what you're.
There was like three or four in each list where we were like,
it's all right.
That might actually be all right. You know what I mean? Like, we never went with any of them, obviously. You know what I mean? Like,
this is the other thing. Like, I had a guy in here a couple of weeks ago, and well, I think we're well past hour, so we can like wrap on this, yep. I suppose. And, you know, the delusion was wild, right? And so I just kind of like said something and then kind of like retracted as I realised that I was basically like stealing the jam out of this guy's donut. I won't name his name, I won't name his social media, but he was a professional copywriter, and I was just like, mate, find a new job.
It's over.
And he was like, what? And I was like, I know somebody who was a graphic designer who lost her job to Canva, and she was working at like Top Makeup, Maybelline, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Canva has just, it's all automated and blah, 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 and they've got templates, and they can pay an intern to jump in and make professional graphic design. Same way, music, same. I was like, AI... copywriting is the first thing, and now you're seeing it. Like, people can write, it can write social media posts for businesses.
My company works within the legal sector, employment law sector. Like, trust me, like, AI is gonna have huge effects in the legal sector.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because first off, you're paying hundreds of quid an hour to a lawyer, whereas you'll be able to go online and get letters drawn up in a second that mm-hmm. are as well
immaculate
as well worded. At the moment, the way that companies will be introducing it is like having it write it and then having it sense checked, which is fine.
Yeah,
but this is exact same as what we're talking about with the actors, but isn't it? It's like the writers.
That intro for your thing looked rubbish this time round. See that next time, and the next time it'll just get better.
I'm talking about more like the writers. Like,
yeah.
They're no longer hiring TV writers.
What he's saying is
6 months to write a full thing. They are now running it through an AI, and it's getting shipped to them to do a week's worth or a day's worth of work. Same thing with the copywriter. They'll now, instead of hiring you to do this job where you could go, that took me an hour to write that copy and I'm £100 an hour, they're now going to be like, oh, we want you to edit what the AI's done. That should take you 5 minutes. We're not paying you £100 an hour, we're paying you a fiver.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean? And like, that's
the benefit. But the benefit, like, well, if we were, like, because this, like you say, it's an unstoppable thing. Like, this isn't, we're not going to be going, oh, actually, let's not do this and keep it all the same. But what will have to happen, and it kind of goes down the route of universal credit and all these kind of things, is, yeah, you are going to have to work for that 1 hour instead of 1 month, but you're going to get paid. 2 grand to do that. So like that'll it'll be a change of society. Like, you're not going to be having to, like, we've already proved it with a 4-day working week. We've already proved it by working at home. We've already proved it. Like, these ways and these systems are old, outdated, and we will have to adapt.
Yeah.
And it'll be more that we'll have, like, so much more time to do things that we actually should be doing.
It'll take away GPs, yes, service industry, everything like that will go, because, like, mate, I went to a GP circa 2017, and I was like, what are they doing? And they were putting my symptoms into an NHS database, and it was spitting out results. So you're like, they're using, that's no technically AI, but as a form
chart
of it.
It's just a flowchart that they use. They, if you phone up 111, they go, right, what's your, you got a high temperature, right? And yes, no, let's go down to the next part.
Decision
and
tree.
And okay, right, we're going down to the nurse. Aye. Oh no, we're going to the doctor. It's the same.
Mate, I had a conversation with a guy, and it's became what he said was untrue, where he was like sitting in a Zoom call and he was like, you know, like, I was training to become a therapist, like, you know, this is one of the industries that's kind of like technology
dependent,
or no, like the opposite, like basically like Teflon to like technology, because the human
you'll
connection
need it.
Nonsense, mate.
No,
they have now got this app that is rated at like something like 90% better than a face-to-face human therapist, and it is an AI therapist.
I'm sure Dan for Brothers and Arms was coming in and talking to us about that years ago.
Yeah, chatbot and blah, blah, blah. But it is now, they've paid, again, it's like this sort of like, they've paid for the license to get access to the material of the world's greatest therapists, and now feeding it into an AI. And it's like, you're getting to go and speak to these people that are charging. I mean, I'd heard, I don't know how true this is, but I'd heard that Marissa Pierce was Ricky Gervais and Will Smith's psychotherapist. She was charging $4,000 an hour. So she's now out of job.
Aye.
Because she has put all her shit on the internet and went, you can train under me and then you pay and I'll give you all the resources. But now they're paying for that $100 license, taking all that resource, feeding into an AI. Then, you know, the AI's talking in her accent and blah, blah, blah. So you fucked it, like, you know what I mean?
But this AI is not just, it's not just her. It's also read everything by Jung, everything by Freud, everything. By, so it's like, it should be better in some respects in that regard.
It's still out of those, isn't it?
And it's the same with, like, even my job, man. Like, I mean, I do a
sales
job.
Gone, mate.
And I've already heard, like, an automated script, and it sounds just like a person, but he's asking the right questions, great timing, great, all those things. And you're like, okay, like, I mean,
I think we're still at the point where
there's still
it's
gaps, but
aye, because let us say, let the Secret Invasion intro, the other one that gets me, and you can still tell nowadays, is like the YouTube adverts, where it's pure, this drone was created to, and like
pure generic
in a couple of years' time, as you say, it's going to get to a point with more and more iterations, more and more information, that we're going to see adverts, we're going to see movies, we're going to hear music that we're like, is that real?
There's already some great, I've heard Johnny Cash doing a cover of Barbie Girl or something like that. It sounded great.
Liam Gallagher's High Flying Birds, where they fed Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds songs in AI and put it in, it came out going, this is what Liam would sound like singing this track. And so it's getting that point where you're like, that's class. And then you're like, no, but wait a minute, is it? And blah, blah, blah. But see, like,
it is for the consumer.
It's
class for the consumer.
That is where we're, I think that, see, like you're saying, that's where we're heading. We're heading to a point where all that will be left will be consumerism and just to consume. And even the arts, you know, are now gone, AI art, you know, like, and it's just...
There's a whole computer game, High on Life, which is like this... same creators as Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And so they've got the voice actors and all that that are involved, but large parts of that game were just AI generated. And I've played it, and it, like, obviously you can't tell when because it's a game, but it, like, it looked great.
Yeah.
Like, looks absolutely great, but, like, they're essentially cutting down all those graphic designers because they don't need to be, like, all the background art in games and stuff like
procedural
that.
The procedural generation in gaming, like Starfield and stuff like that, are going to be...
Yeah.
You can't create an interactable universe in all its detail, like...
manually.
Ahead of time, you need to... it needs to be a bigger... Because game worlds are getting bigger and bigger to the point where we're now... literally like real time traveling across universes. Well, you know what I mean?
Well, we've had what's it called for a while.
I watched a YouTube channel or a YouTube video with a guy that plays guitar for Justin Bieber, and he's like, I can't sustain. And you're like, come on, too fuck. He can't sustain his lifestyle just playing guitar for Justin Bieber. Oh, you're like, well, so he writes music for video games, and he's like, and I no longer have that because now they're using AI to write all the music for video games because it doesn't need that. People are like, it lacks that human emotion. Aye, but the TV music, game music, elevator music, it has no emotion. So it doesn't need that, and it'll just, and it's background. Yeah. So it doesn't need that sort of human element and that human touch that people are saying will be missing. But actually, like you're saying, we're a ball head away from it, having that. Aye. And being like, we can't distinguish the difference between what we do and see when that happens. Like, this is where, who knows where it'll go, but this is where the political choices will need to change, I think.
Aye, like these writer strikes and stuff like that are now vital because they're the kind of, like, front line almost at the minute, like keeping, you know, art almost human, you know what I mean? And, you know,
I think they're fighting the wrong battle because it's like we were just saying there, there is no stopping this. So that political momentum and that political will and the will of people needs to come towards what do we do with these people that now don't have a job because AI is going to take it, rather than them fighting to stop the juggernaut and its tracks. Because if we just look at recent history, it won't. There's nothing stopping. There's nothing stopping automation. They went out and they striked against the factories becoming automated. Yeah.
And it'll be exactly the same result.
The political will needs to change. It will be the exact same result.
Exact same result, and that is rebranding. Rebranding. This is organic content. This is organic.
Aye.
Now we're seeing, but you know, but it costs you 50 we're seeing people extra. Being reduced down to this whole, like, you know, Instagram's just awash with it. You know, like being reduced down to, like, here's what I do, and I can teach you how to do it. And aye, it's like you're in a pyramid, and you're getting the last of the profit that is left of that. And this sort of like coaching sort of lifestyle shit that's starting to. It's really at its, I think it's at its sort of peak.
I think so as well. But I think people are becoming more and more conscious of, like, and I think it's their own awareness of the fact that so much of this is, like, already out there. You know what I mean? Like, but I think it definitely is at its peak, that sort of self-help guru type thing. You know what I mean? I think what you're going to be left with is, like, the people who are extremely good at it and everybody else just kind of sort of falling by the wayside, and maybe other people actually just using these new tools to, like, direct their life.
That's what I was going to say. Like,
there's also a whole load of people that, like, learning styles and things like that, like, doing it off of a computer and doing it that way just doesn't work for them. Like, they can't engage with that. Like in a therapist setting, like, some people will be better off sat across from someone because they're not going to listen. Because these are the same people that have listened to 1,000 motivational speeches online. It's not like they fucking turned their life around or anything.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes there's always going to be a need for that human. But I think that the problem is that it could dilute it so much because there are going to be always going to be cheaper alternatives that are readily available. So it'll be interesting. But there'll be new jobs created out of it all. Like, basically, there's going to be server maintenance people.
But that's kind of like you're saying. That's a dilution of the thing, though, because we've went for, you know, like when I first started in Virgin Megastore back in the day, there was 100 staff. God knows how many people used to work in that Asda down at the Forge, and now that you're saying there's like 10 of them. So where has that other 190 people went? Like, they are now scratching their arse for work or driving Uber, and then that'll go. And then it's
universal,
like,
universal credit.
It'll be universal basic income, and it'll be, you know, well, we hope they don't just let every cunt just go into a scrap heap, you know? Like, this is what I'm saying, like, that sort of swathe and will for people needs to be less about, you know, I think, you know, fighting to keep the status quo, no, but we need to keep these jobs, and more towards, like, what is an actual, like, a tangible solution to a problem, rather than trying to, like, put a fucking cage around technology there's just absolutely no cage in it.
It shouldn't be either or. We need to find a place where these things exist in harmony. And as I say, the AI and the various bits and bobs, the technology that come alongside it, are tools that we harness to improve the quality of our lives. I mean,